As we come to God's Word today, I'm beginning a special three-part series simply entitled, Be Still. As our globe is on a planet-wide sabbatical right now, as business and life has all slowed down for most of us, we want to see what God says about just being still, that we not lose the incredible opportunities of this moment. And our theme verse today is from Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. That's an invitation from the Lord to all of us. Be still and know that I am God. May that be true in this especially unique time in our lives right now. Now those words, be still, may not go well with some of us who are type A activists, or maybe you're a young child watching right now. I know growing up, I heard that all the time. Sit still. Jimmy, sit still. And it's possible, if you're a child and watching this video church service right now, that your parents have said that to you sometime in the last 5 minutes. Sit still. Or if you're a teenager, the two most dreaded words in your vocabulary right now are, I'm bored. It's boring sitting still, doing nothing. I can't be with my friends. I'm bored. Or maybe you're an adult and it may be really hard to be still right now. If you're a banker swamped with the Small Business Administration loan activities and applications, you're probably working harder than you've ever worked. If you're a parent at home with children now, night and day, it's tough to be still. If you're a healthcare worker, you maybe are working extra shifts right now. It's hard to be still. But for the vast majority of us, life is slowing down. We're at home all the time now. And those words, be still, call us to incredible opportunity. In fact, one of the top five restaurants in the world is in Spain. And the famous chef of that restaurant, he wrote, we close the restaurant for 4 months a year. That's every year. This has nothing to do with virus. We close our restaurant for 4 months a year because we realize that if we want to do something truly important, we have to stop, reflect, and discover new ideas. It takes time to stop, reflect, and discover, to be creative. And it means bringing into our lives stillness. This is something that this virus, ironically, is really helping us with right now. And God's invitation to us from Psalm 46 is to be still and encounter Him again. Be still, and in that stillness, apart from your striving, your frenetic activity, everything you're trying to control, just be still and watch me be God. And know that it's me who's God, not you. It's me who's in control, not you. Now, that verse, be still and know that I'm God, is towards the end of Psalm 46. The first part of Psalm 46 is God introducing himself to us again. He, first of all, introduces himself to us as our refuge. Verse 1 of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in the time of need. He's our refuge. I remember playing hide-and-seek when I was a kid. We played hide-and-seek all the time. Somebody would get tagged as being it, and they'd have to chase after everybody else who went and hid. And I remember when I was running to hide, you know, your heart's pounding, and I hope I can find a good place. And when occasionally you found a great hiding spot, you just kind of sat down there, and you just took a deep breath and relaxed, and those words would go through your head, they will never find me here, because I have found a place of refuge and safety. I don't know if they knew hide and seek 3,000 years ago when David wrote this psalm, but he is saying, when we're still, there is a place we find in God that's like a hiding place. We just find him and the strength of his name, and we just sort of take a deep breath and we relax. And you know, our enemies can't find us here. We're safe here in him because he's our refuge. Also tells us that he's our refreshing. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There's a gladness in the city of God because of running water. or in the Bible, running water is called living water. It's always a picture of the Holy Spirit. He said, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. What is the city of God? It's the place of God's indwelling presence. It's where he is. And there, in his presence, comes refreshing for us. I've become convinced in life that some of our weariness is not just physical and it's not just emotional. Some of our weariness at a very profound and deep level in our life is spiritual. What we really need is the refreshing of God's presence in our lives. There's nothing like God's presence. I mean, you can binge watch Netflix and man, it's fine to do that once in a while, but I want to tell you, it doesn't refresh like the presence of God refreshes. Be still. Find a place where you are just enjoying the presence of God and watch the refreshing that can come. So he's our refuge. He's our refreshing. And Psalm 46 also says he's our resource because we don't need to do this alone. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. Just think, you're not out there sitting on a branch about to be cut off. You're not out there with no hope anywhere. The Lord is with us. This is the kind of God that he is. He wants to be with us. I remember a friend of mine running a business. He said, one Sunday morning, God just spoke to me. Felt like the Lord said, I want you to make me the senior partner of your business. Said, I got in my car the next morning, started driving to work. He said, he emailed me later that day. He said, what a difference it made. Just driving to work, knowing I wasn't trying to make this company work all by myself, but I had made Jesus a senior partner in my business. He was with me. I mean, it changes everything. The fact that he is with us. He's our resource. We can lean on him. We don't have to come up with all the bright ideas all by ourselves. The wisdom of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the creativity of the Lord, the courage that the Lord's presence brings to us because he is with us. And so Psalm 46 tells us God's our refuge, the Lord is our refreshing, and the Lord is our resource. And after running through all those things, then he just comes and says, so stop, be still, and just let him be God in your life. Just be still and know that the Lord, that God, is the God of your life. The God who's your refuge and your resource, the God who is your refreshing. Just be still and let him be God in your life. In fact, I love the way Psalm 46 verse 10 puts it. It says, he, God, says to us. Can you imagine God just whispering into your heart today? Hey, just be still. And just let me be me in your life. God says to us, slow down, be still, and know that I am God. And given that stillness is being forced on some of us right now, how can we not miss the opportunity just to rediscover this great God who wants to be our refuge when we're fearful of getting caught by the enemy, who wants to be our refreshing when we're just feeling dry and empty, and who wants to be the resource to help us navigate through uncertainty ahead of us that none of us can see into perfectly right now. He is that amazing God. Be still, he said, and just let me be me to you. This is an unbelievable invitation. I personally don't want to miss it right now in my life. But it does raise the question. See, our part is to be still. How do we truly quiet our souls before him? How do we come to that place of stillness before him? When our minds are still racing a mile a minute and our emotions are still feeling anxiety and you know, we're sheltered in place at home with a spouse and two kids and we just never get away from each other. I mean, how can we do this right now? How do we quiet our souls? Let me give you very briefly 4 steps to doing this. They actually represent 4 very important spiritual disciplines, but 4 steps to doing this. First of all, I invite you to right-size your attitude. Right-size your attitude. Because your attitude falls under the list of those things that we can control. You know, I just kind of live by the adage to change what I can change, but not try to control what I can't control. When I try to control what I can't control, that's when a lot of frustration and stress comes into my life. And there are some things I can control. I can be a little bit more organized, so I'm not so stressed the next morning when I wake up and have to run off to work. I can clean up my desk if my life's just feeling cluttered. I mean, some things I can control, other things I can't control, like people and circumstances. I can't control those. When it comes to attitude, which column does attitude go under? What I can't control or what I can change and control? Well, obviously, it goes under the column of what I can control. We can control our attitudes. And that's where choosing to be still starts. It starts at the level of our attitudes. Now, Paul writes to the Thessalonians in his first letter, 1 Thess 5 and verses 16 to 18, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances." Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Some of you have heard me talk about that as the prayer sandwich. If the meat is the prayer, pray continually. This is a great way to keep our spirits in tune with the Lord and to help start living in that place of stillness, quieting our spirits. And we just keep offloading the pressure to the Lord. He said, "Cast your care on me, for I care for you." So every moment of the day, there's this kind of conversation going on with the Lord. "Lord, I'm just giving you this. I'm trusting you. I know you're with me." So you pray. But then notice around the prayer, before and after, he gives an attitudinal instruction. First of all, rejoice. Before he says pray continually, he says rejoice. And then after he says pray continually, he says, and give thanks, be grateful. Those are attitudes. Rejoice, in the Greek that Paul is writing, that word rejoice is the verb form of joy. In other words, we choose to make joy a verb. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? And you know, you have a choice. Are you going to give place to joy, or are you going to give place to all that anxiety? You choose to give place to joy, to make joy a verb. And then the other side is, and in everything give thanks. Boy, is that ever an attitude setter, just to choose gratefulness. And this is powerful. And then he says, "For this is God's will concerning you, to rejoice, to pray always, and to give thanks." That's God's will for how he wired us to live. And these are attitude things, to rejoice and to give thanks. I have to confess that last Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, I woke up early, got out of bed quite early. I couldn't sleep anymore. And I have to confess, Christ is risen, right? But that's not what I was thinking. I have to confess, I was just worried that morning. I couldn't go back to sleep because I just found myself fighting anxiety, trying to pastor a church through a period where we can't even meet together, and all the spiritual implications of that, all the financial implications of that, all the leadership implications of that. And plus I was, you know, even though I'd recorded, to be honest, my sermon 5 days earlier, I just was anxious. I don't know if this sermon's good enough for Easter Sunday morning. I just was overcome with this. And I was pacing through the kitchen, drinking my coffee and going, "Oh God, help me." And I felt like the Lord just reminded me of this verse again and said, "Jim, you gotta just focus here. You just gotta come, just be still. Just let all of those voices, just all that anxiety start being still." And I just started thanking the Lord for things I've seen him do over the last 3 weeks. I just started thanking him, just praising him. And I knew I needed to find a ground of faith here. After all, Christ is risen. It was Easter Sunday morning. And here I'm acting like somebody who doesn't even know Jesus, just worrying about everything. And as I began to thank him, as I just chose an attitude of gratefulness, you know, God just began to work in my life in a really powerful way. And my spirit began to lift, and I just began to be refreshed by his presence. Kind of found that refuge again in him, where I could just kind of take a deep breath and say, "They're not going to find me here, my enemies." And realize that I'm not alone. He's my resource. I mean, gratefulness, just setting your attitude, it all starts there. And then the second one is to fight for solitude in your life. You know, we right-size our attitude and then we fight for solitude. Because if we're going to quiet our spirits, it's probably going to need time, more than 2 or 3 minutes, going to take a length of time where we're just away from other people and away from other things. Now, if you're living alone right now, that's not a problem. But if you've got a house full of people, your own family members, and you try not to be within 6 feet of anybody else in our world, if you're in a household with a family, it's probably going to be hard. You're with them day and night. And if this isn't driving you crazy already, it's for sure making it difficult to find solitude. You may even want to negotiate with your family, like, okay, every person in the family gets 1 hour of alone time, and we're going to all stay away from them and let them go in their room, or even if you have to go sit in your car, just find a place of solitude somehow. Or if the weather's nice, you can take a walk alone and just find this place of solitude. Luke 15, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and there he prayed. And it's in this place of solitude that we can just begin to quiet our spirit. Being alone for more than 3 minutes, this could be a very powerful thing. I was reading about a lady whose husband was a prosecuting attorney, worked 100 hours a week. One day he came home just exhausted, and he said, "Some days solitary confinement sounds like a wonderful thing to me." And she said that triggered an idea, and she actually started a business in which they constructed a mock jail cell, a solitary confinement cell, and all it had was a toilet. You had to sleep on the floor. It just had a toilet. No mirror, no electronics, no Wi-Fi, no cell phones. And people could pay $90 to $100 a night to spend 24 hours in solitary confinement. You thought, that's crazy. That's terrible. You wouldn't believe the therapeutic effects it had on people. In fact, she said, this is a quote from this wife who started the business. "After a stay in the prison," people will say to me, "This is not a prison. The real prison is what I'm returning to." And so this is an amazing thing that we just need to, like Jesus, go away to lonely places. If we're going to quiet our spirit, we just need, don't rent a prison room for a weekend, but find somewhere, somehow, to be alone for a half hour every day, or alone for an hour every day, so that you can focus. And then what do you do in that time? Number three, focus on Scripture. Focus on Scripture. You know, God's Word says, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my pathway." And we don't know where our steps are leading these next few weeks and these next few months. Nobody has visibility very far into the future right now, anywhere in our world. But God's Word is a lamp for our feet, and it's a light for our pathway. And as you take God's Word, I encourage you, it might be easiest to even start in the Psalms, because many of the Psalms are prayers. But I'd encourage you to not just read God's Word, but read it slowly enough to turn every verse into a prayer back to God. Let it become a prayer that just speaks your heart back to God. And let Scripture, you know, sometimes if we find solitude, our minds are still running just wild. And I find that the Scriptures help to focus me. God's Spirit and His Word are always working together. And then fourthly, listen and write. Listen and write. Verse 27 of John 10, these are the words of Jesus. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep listen for my voice. So I'd like to encourage you to right-size your attitude and then fight for some solitude time every day. And then focus on the Scriptures, and then listen to what God's Spirit's saying to you, and start writing things down. Journaling is one of the spiritual disciplines, just writing down what you sense God's speaking to you. Write out, don't just pray prayers, write out prayers back to God. Some people find that very, very helpful. But listen, above all, listen to what God wants to say. This is a time where we may well have more time on our hands just to quiet our spirits and listen to the voice of God. Listen to what He's saying to you about your relationship with Him. Listen to what He's saying to you about your relationship with others. And listen to what He's saying to you about His purpose for your life and how you're living it out. I just think in the next 3 weeks to 4 weeks, God just wants to say some important things to each one of us. Be still, God said to us, and know that I am God. And these spiritual disciplines of gratitude, solitude, of study of Scripture, of meditation and reflection, I mean, these things can begin to shape the reality in our lives. Now I'd like to invite you, wherever you are, just to make an altar of prayer with me. God says, I just want you to be still and let me be God in your life. That's the challenge of a lifetime for me right now and for many of us. Just to be still and know He is God. And He's revealed Himself in Jesus. And if you've never opened yourself to Jesus, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as you come the Jesus way to Him, forgiveness of your sin, there's just refreshing and strength He wants to bring to your life. And those of us who do know Him, let's let God reintroduce Himself to us. Lord, we thank You for this great day. We thank You for this service of worship. We thank You for the inspiration of the music we've heard and the testimonies of Your grace. And we thank You for Your invitation to each one of us. Just be still and know Me. Lord, if we don't know You at all, we repent of our sin. And we thank You for dying for us. And we ask Jesus to come into our lives and reveal the Father, our Heavenly Father, to us. We just pray You'll open the connection to heaven for us. And give us Your resurrection Spirit, we pray. And make us new. And Lord, for those of us who do walk with You, we pray You just bring a stillness to our hearts. There's a lot to fear for the future, but bring a stillness for today. So that we don't fear the future. But we just walk knowing our God, just letting You be our God. Thank You, Lord. All those things in Psalm 46, You're our refuge, You're our refreshing, You're our resource in life. My God, be that, we pray to us. And I thank You. Now I pray Your blessing upon every person who's tuned in, upon our congregation scattered today, but connected in this moment of faith and prayer. May with them be the grace of our Lord Jesus. May the love of God be so real to them. And may the very real fellowship of the Holy Spirit be theirs today. In Jesus' name, amen.